and your presence in those situations. We just love you and praise you this morning, and we just want to be people that live to glorify you first and foremost. So help us to do that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we started on our new mission statement and kind of went through a talk on that, and this morning we're going to lay out some vision and go over the vision and the values part of this. So just to quickly recap, our mission statement is connecting people with Jesus, building community, transforming lives. That's what we went over last week. We went over this mission statement. And with a vision statement of intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others, bridging the gap between community and church through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement, submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. And then our core values are gathering, community, serving, generosity, invitation, and holiness. So our mission statement, connecting people with Jesus, building community, and transforming lives. Just a quick little recap. We exist, connecting people with Jesus, we exist to connect all people we come across to Jesus, Jew or Gentile, right, rich or poor, no matter where, ethnicity, background, sins committed, we exist to connect all people we come across to Jesus, and we believe that's biblical. The second thing we are called to do as a church is to build and bridge community as a church and as individuals. So things we do here and things we do individually outside of these walls, we're called to build and bridge community. And then the last thing is that we are called to be a church that is transforming lives. Other words, people who are coming into contact with our church are receiving the Holy Spirit and their lives are being transformed. A church that displays the fruits of the Spirit is an attractive church. And we have to submit to the Holy Spirit, to the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation. So that is kind of what we talked about last week very quickly. This week we're going to look at our vision statement. Our vision statement is this, and it's kind of small up there. I don't know if you can read it or not. Oh, there's a little bigger. It is intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others, bridging the gap between church and community through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement, submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. So if our mission is why we exist, connecting people to Christ, building community, transforming lives, everything we do points back to that. The vision is how we're going to get there. What are we doing to fulfill this mission? And that's what we're going to talk about today, is our vision, and then we'll hit on the values as well. So, intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others. That's the first part of this mission or vision statement. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47 says this. I'll let them catch up a second so you can read with me. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, I'm talking about connecting with Jesus, intentionally investing in relationship with God and others. I connect to Christ when I read his words. I connect with Jesus when I read the actual physical Bible, or on the screen or on your phone. I mean, we're moving past paper, but there are physical words of Jesus that we can see and look at and hold and touch and interact with. I connect with Christ when I read his words If you have the red letter Bible, that is literally the words spoken out of Jesus' physical mouth. We have a way to connect with Jesus by reading his words. Another way that I can connect with Jesus individually is to pray, is to communicate, right? If we're in a relationship with someone, it's not much of a relationship if we're not speaking. That's the old fourth or fifth grade boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm dating so-and-so. How long? Well, a couple weeks. Have you talked? No, haven't talked to him, but we're dating for sure. I'm sure all of you remember those days. A relationship isn't much if you don't communicate. So when I read his words and when I pray, I connect with Christ also when I worship. And worship is definitely something we do here on Sundays, but worship is a lifestyle. It's not just being here on Sundays and singing. It is pointing glory back to God, giving glory to God for everything, for all things. That's how we are worshiping. And then I connect with Christ when I serve others, when I serve the church, when I sacrifice my time and my abilities and my energy and my money, when I sacrifice things to better or advance the kingdom of God. That's how I connect individually with Christ. Now, I help connect others with Christ when I share my testimony, right? There's power in that, in sharing your testimony. I connect others with Christ when I pray for others. That's something no one can reject, right? There's no way anybody could control you being able to pray for them. You can always pray for someone to be able to try and connect them with Christ. I connect with others with Christ when I serve others, when I show others the love of Jesus. And then lastly, I connect others to Christ when I invite others to church. There is power in your testimony. There is power in your prayer. There is power in your invitation. So, are you placing priority on your relationship with Jesus, and are you pointing others toward Christ with how you're living? So there's two questions of this first part of this vision statement. Are you placing a priority on your relationship with Jesus, or are you pointing others towards Jesus with how you're living? So if our mission is connecting people with Jesus, our vision is intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others. The second part of this vision statement is bridging the gap between church and community through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement. So, we build community. We build community by loving our neighbor, by meeting people where they are, which is not just here on a Sunday morning, but outside of these walls. We build community by serving our surroundings, the places that we live and work and go to school and all these things that we do every day, where we shop. We build community by serving our surroundings. We build community by opening our homes to people. And we build community by starting small groups and Bible studies and things where people can connect and bond and walk through life together. I posed a question last week that was, would our community survive without us? Would Middletown be able to make it without us being open as a church and being here and existing and doing God's work in this community? Would they be able to survive without us? And I'd like to say the answer is no, but I want to get us to where I know that the answer is no. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we need to be so useful. We talked about salt and light last week being a valuable asset to that demographic. We need to be so useful and so vital to our community that they wouldn't or couldn't survive without us. Just a question, has God given you vision for ministry, specifically for this area, the area that you work and live and go to school? Has God placed something in your mind or on your heart that you say, man, I just would love to see this happen? Maybe he has, and that's awesome, and I'd love for you to share that with me someday. So how can we position ourselves to be this valuable to our community? How can we position ourselves to be this valuable to our community? And We talked about a list of things that we're doing already, and I want to expand on some of those and then maybe bring up a couple of new things today. First thing that we do that is just pivotal to our community is the ARC Daycare and Preschool. We're ministering to around 200 kids in our community. How can we more minister to those families? And I've heard ideas from some of you at some points, and how can we, what would it look like if we were to minister to those families more so? If we were able to connect with these families that are here dropping kids off every day, picking kids up every day. What about our Midtown sports? Basketball has grown, I think, to what it can grow to, unless you guys want to do another building campaign. I don't. But if, you know, we can't grow that thing for basketball league any bigger. I'm sure Clifton would disagree, and he's probably right. I'm probably the cynic here. But we are full. But we can expand Midtown sports into different sports, into different seasons, and we can have stuff going on quarterly that is engaging and connecting with our community. And that's why we've intentionally named it Midtown Sports and not Midtown Basketball. So the plan would be, and hopefully some vision for that would be to expand that and roll some things out this season. Clifton is exploring soccer because we have this soccer league that's here and can kind of partner with that. So we're looking to expand that, just some vision for that area. We're looking to expand that in the coming year. We also have Renew that meets here every Sunday night, and they are our recovery ministry, and we're helping people in the community and in the church with recovery issues. How could we better minister to them? How could we better resource them? And this is one thing that I've been kind of dreaming about since we've come up with this Blue River merger. We now have a facility that is off-site, that is kind of out there, and if we were to take it sits empty all week except for Sundays. If we were to take that and maybe operate some counseling hours out of it during the week, we have a ministry that's working on recovery. We could then have a point to funnel them. And I'll tell you the need for. I have had so many people that I've had to refer to counseling, and the wait lists are long. It is a need in our community. It's a way that we can bridge a gap between church and community. Now, how are we getting this done and when? That's a great question. I'm putting calls out and all that stuff, but I think we could meet a need that exists in our community. Here, the anonymity is gone, right? If you're going to receive counseling, you're not going to want to walk through a daycare to do it. Amen? Okay, right. Good. I'm not alone there. No, we have 30-ish employees working here every day for the daycare and preschool. It would be really hard to walk through or receive counseling and not be found out. But in a building that's empty all week that we now own, that is an awesome opportunity. So we're hoping to move in that direction in the future. We have the soccer league that meets every August to October. They're out there 3 or 4 times a week. And one thing that they do is they provide concessions. What if we adopted them and did their concessions for them and started building a relationship with these 150 students that are out there every week or multiple times a week, and we started building relationships with these families? Or Pastor Kirsten has been working on something pretty diligently with our baseball field and getting it revamped and redone with the help of Jerry Shoemaker. And then Kirsten's vision and dream for that is to start a challenge league that other communities have for students with special needs who don't get to play sports with regular in regular rec leagues, and starting a month-long, once-a-week baseball league for these families of students with special needs and ministering to people in that way. Or what about this fully functioning coffee bar that we have that is getting ready to be remodeled? There was a donation put in, and it's going to be made to be spruced up and look more like a functioning kind of coffee shop environment out there. What if we were to take that and open it up in the mornings to all these ARC families that are coming through and to minister to our community that way? We have this huge facility that is being used and utilized. Again, this is encouragement. This isn't we're doing a bad job. It's we could do a little more. And so I feel like our greatest asset and biggest financial burden sometimes is this big facility. But we have this enormous place that we can minister to the community and do it very well. And so if we were to take this coffee bar and open it during the week, not, you know, nothing crazy, not like we're going to become a Denny's or anything, but we could serve coffee to the people that are coming in here daily and then maybe get more people into our church. We've strategically over the last, well, really since COVID, have been kind of shifting things to where the daycare is now secured in this half of the building and the church is now back opened up to church and community use every day on this side of the building, in the foyer, the sanctuary, and the rooms off of it. And so what would it look like to use that daily for community ministry? I think the coffee bar is a big part of that. I think that it'd be awesome to even carve out a small space for a play place that moms could bring their kids in during the week and hang out. I know a lot of our churches around are exploring those things and are seeing great growth with that. And then the last thing that we've been kicking around for some vision for this building community is, I don't know if you've been here at all during the day, but our grass is already being used as a dog park. What if we just fenced in this ditch out here and actually ministered to our community in that way? There's so many options and so many opportunities that we have in front of us. We just need people. In order for us to position ourselves as a valuable resource to our community, we will need to work together. We will need to be together and united in this. In order to enhance our geographical community, not our church community, in order to enhance our geographical community, we will need to be a church community. A church that is divided cannot unite a community. How is a group that isn't on the same page going to unite anyone or anything? It's not doable. So before anything else, we must be a united body of believers in mission and vision and in values. And that's the purpose for what we're talking about today. United doesn't always mean an agreement or liking everyone or being on board with somebody's crazy idea, right? Probably mine, but being on board with everything that everyone does. But it means loving and valuing each other as God already loves and values each one of us. No matter what opinions we have or craziness or anything, God already loves and values us, and being united means that we would love and value each other in that same way. So, if our mission is building community, our vision is to be united as a church and bridge the gap between church and community. Does that make sense? Okay. You guys are quiet again. Everything all right? Ready for chili? Good, me too. The last part of this vision statement is submitting to the power and discernment and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. This one is the vision for any church, right? This is a no-brainer. So submitting to the discernment and guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are transformed by allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work within us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So, I got a question for you. If you could put that picture up, Rose. If you were going to go select a car, and you had your option between a 1985 Toyota Camry or a 2023 Toyota Camry, right? We're just kind of trying to hit all budgets here. We're not going too fancy, not too low. Money's no issue. What are we picking? We're going to pick the 2023, right? Reason being, it doesn't have a cassette player, for one, right? It has an MP3 connection. Two, you could drive it. Nobody else has driven it yet. It's going to get you where you need to go and not have to worry about it. If you're driving the 1985 Toyota Camry, you're probably going to have to jiggle some wires every now and then, and you're probably going to have to do some other things to make it start every time and to make it dependable. It's the same thing with a church. When a church is full of new creation, people will be attracted. If people walk in and can sense this is a people that have allowed the Holy Spirit to transform their lives and they act different, they treat each other different, they are different than what the world is offering, or if they walk into a church that is dying. And I don't mean that as in old people, I mean spiritually dying, right? If they walk into a church that is spiritually dying, they can sense that, and they will not be attracted. A church that is full of new creation is attractive. If a church claims to follow Jesus, but their actions say otherwise, people will head the other direction because they can get that outside of the church. They can be treated poorly outside of the church. They can, you know, get gossiped about outside of the church. They don't need to come to church to do that. If a church claims to follow Jesus, but their actions say otherwise, people will head in the other direction. We believe that the Holy Spirit can transform every aspect of your life and give you freedom from the burden, guilt, and shame of sin. So if our mission is life transformation, our vision is submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so hopefully you're not, hopefully you're on board, and the vision statement is kind of how we're going to get there. The mission's what we're doing, the vision's how we're going to get there. And then we have these six core values that we're going to go over in the next 12 minutes. And we're going to talk through these really quickly. So the first one is gathering. So I guess if the values is like, this is kind of what we're going to live by. Not really a code. I'm not into like the legalism, but this is the stuff that we value as a church. If we are going to be a part of this church, this is what we value in life. So the first one is gathering. We value regular gathering as a body of believers for corporate worship. That's what's happening right now and at Blue River and also at home online. That's what's happening right now here at Middletown Church of the Nazarene. We are gathering for corporate worship as a body of believers. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another and to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So this isn't a now problem, right? The author of Hebrews was writing about people making a habit of neglecting to meet for church. This has been happening for a long, long time. It says the point is for you to gather and encourage each other so that you can, it's the iron sharpens iron thing, so that you can be spurred on to good works and more encouragement as the day draws near. So why is gathering important? Why is gathering important? I've got four things. If you want to throw out a couple just to cut some tension, you can. I wouldn't be against that. Why is it important that we gather as a church? Energy, yeah. Relationships, yes. Support, yes. Yes, definitely. I have encouragement. I have inspiration. I have empowerment. And I have learning and growth. Right? The church has traditionally been a meeting place for Christians. It's not been, this is where we do our evangelism. It's this is where we encourage people and inspire people who are believers and empower people who are believers to go out and do ministry. This is where we learn the Word of God and we grow closer to God and each other. The most important reason we gather is found in Matthew 18, verse 20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Gathering is important mostly because God is there. So it is beneficial to the individual and to the church for us to gather. It's beneficial to the individual and to the church for us to gather. Gathering is a recharge. I think I have some pictures up there. If you have a phone, right, we probably don't all have a Tesla, but it works the same way as a phone, right? It runs for a while, and then you have to charge it. Same thing for your phone. If you are, if your battery is low, you have to find a charging station. You have to find a plug. Chances are your kid stole one of them, and you're scrambling, but you have to find a plug that's that can go into a wall and recharge your phone, or you have to stop and find one of these charging stations and recharge your car. Church is that recharge for us as believers. So gathering is valuable. Have you ever left church thinking, man, I should not have made that a priority today? I hope not. I hope you've never left church that way, where you think, ah, shouldn't have come. Wasn't worth it. Right? Usually you leave glad. You think, man, I'm glad I got up. I'm glad I gave that hour and a half, 2 hours on a Sunday morning to this. I feel like I can go on in my walk for this week, and I feel like I have the energy, the empowerment to do ministry in my individual life. We value regularly gathering as a body of believers for corporate worship. The next one is community. We value small group environments that produce community with others. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." So community within the church is crucial to the church's survival. It is crucial to a church surviving. There might be another picture up there, Rose. I had a membership to the Indianapolis Zoo for a year, my family and I. And we would go when we could, when it was convenient, and we would head to the zoo and look at the animals, and we'd have a lot of fun and, you know, just kind of take in whatever there was there to take in and see and do, and then we would head home. And then the next time we were bored, or one day it was a snow day. If you have a zoo membership, snow days from school are the best days. If you can get there, they're the best days to go to the zoo, because nobody's there and you're going to get all the attention of every employee at every exhibit. So, like, I know more about animals from that one trip at the zoo than I've known my entire life. It's awesome. Anyway, you get bored, you go back to the zoo. The thing about a zoo membership is it's really easy to walk away from. It's very easy to ignore that letter they send and just not renew it. Right? It's really easy. Why is that? Well, it's because I've not invested anything other than my one-time fee, and I can go there when I want to get whatever gratification I want from looking at these animals and doing the activities. It's really hard to walk away from a family, right? That's a membership that it's really hard to walk away from. It's when you pray and eat and share and celebrate and grieve and walk through life with your church, they become like your family. Could you imagine going home one day and or going, you know, to a family gathering and, sorry guys, I found somebody who plays the music I like. It was nice knowing y'all. We'll see you later. No, right? That's crazy. But it happens in the church so many times. Don't treat your church experience like a zoo pass. Don't show up and participate in the fun music and the you know, the lights that go up the sides and the nice trees and, you know, get your feel goods and then go home and forget about it until next time you need to show up to church and feel that experience. Don't treat it like a zoo pass. Treat it like a family. We have so many small groups that are happening already. Some of them go by the name of Sunday school classes. Others meet different times of the week. And I'll tell you, the people who are investing in these small groups are people that I know I don't have to worry about, because I know that they have a community here in this church, and they've bonded together and they've become like family. We value small group environments that produce community with others. The next one is serving. We value the giving of ourselves by serving others. Philippians 2:3-4 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." When we serve, our problems matter less. Amen? When we're serving someone that has a need that we don't have, we suddenly see our need is not that big of an issue. When our problems matter less, what happens? We complain less. And when we complain less, everybody's happy. Right? It's a great environment. When we serve more, our problems matter less. When our problems matter less, we complain less. When we complain less, everybody's happy. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." We serve because Jesus served, because that's the example that he set. Even when he was about to die on our behalf, he still washed his disciples' feet. He still put himself in that servant's place. Romans 12:1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Serving is something we need to be doing all the time, a living sacrifice. When we're alive, we are serving. Serving puts importance on something other than ourselves, and that's why we value the giving of ourselves by serving others. The next one is generosity. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7 says this, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." This is a farming community. I don't think I have to explain that, but put lots of seed down, grow lots of plants. Put a little bit of seed down, grow a little bit of plants. Simple enough? Are you being generous? Are you being generous with not just your money? I mean, with your money, but not just your money. We're called to be generous with time and talent and treasure. I feel like I preach this often. The time that we have, we're called to be generous with it. Are we investing our time in things that matter eternally? Are we investing it in something we're going to get zero return on? Same with our talent, same with our treasure. Are you committed to giving generously of your time? Are you committed to saying, I'm going to spend some time investing in the kingdom, investing in the church, investing in the next generation? Are you committed to giving generously of your talents and your gifts, the things that God has gifted you with that nothing else, that no one else can do, or that no one else can do like you do them? And are you committed to giving generously of your finances? Are you committed to say, you know what, things are tough right now? And they are. Nobody has the money they had, you know, a few years ago. Are you committed to giving generously and allowing and trusting God to bless you because of it? The church that sows little will reap little. We value a life of generosity and giving faithfully. Invitation. We value a personal invitation to help others make the next step in their spiritual journey. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We are a called people to invite others into our faith, right? Not just into the church, but into our faith. We are called to bring people in, to connect people to Jesus, and invitation is a big, big part of that. We've talked about this last week, but people will not accidentally come to church. They're not going to just wander in. Cold calls are not welcome. In fact, your phone will tell you potential spam or this number's not in your contacts. Report junk? Right? Cold calls don't work anymore. Neither do door knocks, right? If someone comes over to your house, they better have texted you at least a half an hour before, right? Yeah, of course. People will respond to a personal invitation. So if I invite your friend to church, they know that I'm paid to do that, first off. Right? The gesture isn't as appreciated. Also, I can't sit with them during service because I'm up here, right? And you guys are out there. And also, they don't know me because they're your friends. They don't know me, so it wouldn't make sense for me to invite your friend from church or to church. Now, if you invite your friend to church, one, they know you care enough about them to invite them in on something that you take very seriously. Second thing is you can sit with them during service, and And you inviting them to church, they will already be connected to someone within this group. A personal invite from a friend works so much better than a mailer or a cold call or a door knock or whatever it's going to be. If our church is going to grow, it will depend on invites from the congregation. If our church is going to grow, it's not going to be because I'm a stellar preacher. It's not going to be because I'm incredibly handsome. It's not going to be because of anything that I can do or say or juggle or whatever. It's not going to be because of anything to do with me. Anybody can do my job. It's not hard. I am the replaceable one. If this church and this community is going to grow, it's going to be because you guys care enough to invite your friends and your family and whoever else is in your circle in on it. If our church is going to grow, it will depend on personal invites from the congregation. We value personal invitation to help others take the next step in their spiritual journey. And the last core value, almost done. We value a holiness lifestyle that is honoring to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We believe that God has gifted us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, literally the third part of the Trinity, God himself dwelling within us to make us more like Jesus every day, to be blameless, to be seen as blameless, to be free of sin, of shame, of guilt, of burden, of everything that comes with this broken world. We believe that God gifts us that through grace poured out on the cross and through Pentecost when he gifted his disciples with it. A lifestyle of holiness is one of daily surrender. There's so many things in this, growing up in this denomination especially. We are a holiness church of the Wesleyan holiness tradition, and reading all the articles, and you know, the sanctification has been looked at and interpreted differently, but you know, you hear people say, "I've been sanctified since 1974, and that's that," you know, and it's not that, right? It's a lifestyle of holiness, and it's one of daily surrender, saying, "God, today, your will, not mine." Setting our will aside and living in the will of God. This is done through the grace that was poured out on the cross and is no way something we could do on our own. We cannot live a holiness lifestyle without the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. So, if we forsake our flesh and live in grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the holiness lifestyle that we're called to. We value a holiness lifestyle that is honoring to God. So our mission is connecting people with Jesus, building community, transforming lives. Our vision is intentionally investing in a relationship with God and others, bridging the gap between church and community through serving, meeting needs, and community engagement. Submitting to the power, discernment, and guidance of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ, with these core things that we value as a church being gathering, community, serving, generosity, invitation, and last but certainly not least, holiness. If we operate under the mission and vision and values that we've laid out these last 2 weeks, I'm certain we will grow in not just attendance and numbers, but in so many different ways. And I believe more than that, that God will remain faithful. Would you pray with me? God, we just want to surrender to you this morning. God, whatever it is that we could be doing individually as individuals to further your kingdom here in Middletown, just help us to do it. Help us to be on board with what you have going on. Help us to serve. Help us to be people that aren't focused on our needs and our complaints, but on serving those who have actual needs. God, help us to be people that connect people to Jesus. We know the world has changed and vision will change on how to do this as the world keeps changing day in and day out. But help us to have vision and help us to be people that everything we do points back to connecting people to Jesus, to building community, and to ultimately leading to life transformation. God, as we go about this day, we just ask that you would bless us, bless the rest of this time we have, bless this food we're going to eat together, and bless the fun and the fellowship that we're going to have together as well. We just thank you for who you are, that you are God, and that we aren't. We thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we can live lives free of guilt, shame, and burden. God, just go with us as we leave this place today. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.